Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Thank you all so much for joining today. Today's class will be given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhu. And Prabhuji will be speaking from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 25. But I think the verse is given here wrong. It is from verse 6. Prabhu, do you have the verse? Sorry for the...
67.
67 onwards. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is from the chapter titled How All the Residents of Varanasi Became Vaishnavas. So, the context that currently we are in is when the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati has finished this glorification about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission is superlative and it surpasses all the other philosophical explanation and philosophical treatises given by all the predecessors. And the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati also explained how that this Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission refutes the Mayavadi ideologies. And after he finished this discussion, narration, Prakashananda Saraswati, who witnessed the entire description, he is looking at Mahaprabhu, and we are going to discuss a few verses today, from 67, 3-4 verses today. Together, we will see what is there for us today. I'll read the shlokas in translation and purports wherever it is, and then we'll have our discussions. Text 67. Dekiya prabhura nritya prema dehara madhuri Sishya gana sange sei bhale hari hari. When Prakashananda Saraswati saw the Lord, he and his disciples also joined the chanting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prakashananda Saraswati was charmed by the Lord's dancing and ecstatic love and by the transcendental beauty of his body. Text 68. Kampa Swarga Banga Sveda Vaivarnya Stamba Ashrudharaya Bije Loka Phulaka Kadamba. Ecstatic spiritual transformations began to take place in the Lord's body. His body trembled and his voice faltered. He perspired, turned pale, and wept a constant flow of tears, which wet all the people standing there. The eruptions of the Lord's body appeared like a kadamba flowers. Harsha Dainya Chaplayadi Sanchari Vikara Deki Kashi Vasi Lokera Haila Chamatkara. All the people were astonished to see the Lord's jubilation and humility and to hear him talk in ecstasy. Indeed, all the residents of Banaras, Kashi, saw the bodily transformations and were astonished. Text 70. Loka Sangata Deki Prabhura Bhaya Yabe Haila Sanyashira Gana Deki Nritya Sambarila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained his external consciousness, He saw that many Mayavadi sannyasis and other people were gathered there. He therefore suspended his dancing for the time being. Text 71. Prakashanandera Prabhu Vandila Charana Prakashananda Asitandra Darila Charana. After stopping the Kirtana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a great example of humility, offered prayers unto the feet of Prakashananda Saraswati. At this, Prakashananda Saraswati immediately came forward and clasped the Lord's lotus feet. Text 72. Prabhu kahe tumi jagat guru pujya atma ami tomar nahi sishyera sishya sama. When Prakashananda Saraswati caught hold of the Lord's lotus feet, the Lord said, "My dear sir, you are the spiritual master of the whole world. Therefore, you are most worshipable. As far as I am concerned, I am not even on the level of the disciple of your disciple." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mayavadi sannyasis generally call themselves Jagat Guru, the spiritual master of the whole world. Many consider themselves worshipable by everyone, although they do not even go outside India or their own district. Out of His great magnanimity and humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented Himself as a subordinate disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati. So we will discuss till verse number 72 today. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This Krishna consciousness process, Srila Prabhupada, every time when he talks about, he explains that how it's a very happy as well as transforming experience. Srila Prabhupada is very bold as well as very direct in his preaching, especially when it comes to explaining about this process of Krishna consciousness. I have said this many times in the past. Srila Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Kapila in one of the purports that he says how this Krishna consciousness process transforms a person internally as well as externally. And Prabhupada writes that you look at the face of our devotees who have taken up Krishna consciousness, they would have definitely got transformed from what they were before taking up Krishna consciousness. In this 6-7 verses that we discussed today, definitely it's a very wonderful moment for Mahaprabhu's manifested pastime, where established Mayavadi sannyasi who has the stature of being called as Jagat Guru is now clasping the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is one of the moments for which Mahaprabhu always cherishes, because he wants to establish how this bhakti movement, how the process of devotional service, how this Krishna consciousness process by which we can develop direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. And when the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati, when he was talking the last 25-30 verses, he was explaining from all angles, karma mimamsa, jnana mimamsa. I'm sure Kamalochan Prabhu would have done a great job explaining those things very, you know, systematically. So the whole explanation, we explained how this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings supersede all those explanations. And this title Jagat Guru is actually a very illusionary title. Once His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, during Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day celebrations or appearance day celebration, I'm not exactly remembering, in Radha Rasbihari temple, he made a very interesting point. He said that Srila Prabhupada never wanted himself to be called Jagat Guru. Unfortunately, or maybe coincidentally, in ISKCON, still till today we get to see devotees to give more appreciation to Prabhupada called Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. One devotee was glorifying Srila Prabhupada at that time during the offerings. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj, you know, personally intervened and said that Srila Prabhupada never liked himself to be called by that name. And he gave the explanation. He said that only Mayavadi sannyasis used to call themselves, or they used to be called as Jagat Guru. And Srila Prabhupada never ever wanted to have any tinge of association to his Sankirtan mission to be linked with Mayavada. Nowhere, especially to his own identity, his own preachings, his own ideologies and the process that he is establishing, he never wanted any connection, even in nomenclature-wise. So we see here, Mahaprabhu, in a very diplomatic as well as to teach Prakashananda Saraswati that you used to claim yourself as Jagat Guru, confusing people, giving such philosophical advices and explanations by which nobody were going anywhere in their devotional stature. And by now, that same personality has understood the real essence of devotional life and is falling at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, clasping his feet and asking for mercy. And the way Mahaprabhu responded back is also very nice, where Mahaprabhu is taking a very humble stand. Even though the ideologies and teachings of such Mayavadi people may be wrong, but Mahaprabhu established the principle of Amanina Manadena. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining about this in his Chaitanya Sikshamrita, where when he is talking about Manadena, giving respect, he explains that a sannyasi even though he may be a Mayavadi sannyasi, even though we are not supposed to associate with him, even though we are not supposed to, you know, according to Mahaprabhu's direct instruction, we are supposed to take bath when we see him, we do not have rights to disrespect. So in this current context, we are going to learn some sets of lessons, and through this 6-7 verses, let's see what we can learn for ourselves. Number one, the first reflection is the natural effect of Krishna consciousness process upon oneself. This process of Krishna consciousness, as explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, he says two immediate responses or reflex action has to happen. Number one is Kleshagni, number two is Shubhada. If somebody is performing pure devotional service, if somebody is doing pure devotional service, two natural immediate byproducts, immediate results, experienceable even when they are still in the making, is Kleshagni. Kleshagni means all the disturbances, all the dirt, all the unwanted things in the hearts get purified. I was talking the other day in a Bhagavatam forum where all the challenges, all the dirt, all the unwanted things gets purified also has to be understood in the right way. Sometimes Krishna gives a challenge to remove a challenge. And that challenge that comes in to remove a bigger challenge is never seen as a challenge, it is seen as a surgery. It is like surgical process. Introduce a pain to remove another pain. So many a times when we explain this process to devotees or even to normal people, that this Krishna consciousness process brings in happiness, brings in joy, brings in jubilation, brings in transformation. By our materialistic understanding, we naturally conclude that there should not be any pain. It's only pleasure, because you're talking about happiness. How can a happiness be introduced by giving pain? So the pain is not a pain. The pain is actually a surgery to remove the unwanted growth, unwanted things in the heart, to give us relief, the cataract, the unwanted growth which stops our vision to see the reality as reality and illusion as illusion. So hence, the reflection, the first reflection is, we as practitioners, if we as students of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to understand, learn and be very clear that in our process of Krishna consciousness, in the journey, we need to experience these two things as the early student. See that how challenges are going away and our path towards Krishna is getting clearer, and how, because of that, we are experiencing happiness. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion under this title, Shubhadha, brings in all auspiciousness. I'm just paraphrasing, I don't, you know, exactly remember that. So Prabhupada says that so much of happiness, Brahmananda, because typically a Mayavadi uses the word Brahmananda, because they consider that as their ultimate goal of life. If you see what is Mayavadi's ultimate goal of life, what is the philosophy that they proclaim, is Brahmananda. And Prabhupada writes there in Nectar of Devotion, he says that so much of Brahmananda cannot even stand in front of the happiness and auspiciousness this Sankirtan mission, this process of devotional service can give to an individual. So hence, this Krishna consciousness is a surgical process. By giving apparently, even if it means a pain, it is actually relieving us from unwanted, unwarranted, and those things because of which things get delayed to go to Krishna. So we all need to learn to acknowledge that, experience that. Mahaprabhu, he is very scientifically has demonstrated here, because these all so-called Mayavadis, they used to think that they are scholarly, and those scholarliness is the real result of Krishna consciousness. But Mahaprabhu is demonstrating here that the scholarliness is not Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is the madness, the surrender. The interesting aspect of how we get lost, we get completely into the loving aspect of devotional service. So Mahaprabhu, by his own mad reaction, by his own jumping and in jubilance, is telling all of them, is showing all of them that at the end of the day in our Krishna consciousness, we should come to the stage of complete madness in love for Krishna without any upadis. And for that, the biggest obstacle is our panditya, is our scholarliness. That is why we are not studying Prabhupada books for becoming a scholar. We are studying Prabhupada books for becoming a devotee. And if by we coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, we have not realized our kleshas going away, we have not realized our heart is feeling happiness, if you have not realized these two things, there is something radically wrong. If you have not realized that this Krishna consciousness process has freed us from material pain, then there is something that we need to be worried about. So my first reflection hence is to say that we all need to understand and acknowledge that Krishna consciousness process is a surgical process, and the process of surgery may apparently give pain, but eventually it is giving us unlimited happiness, as Mahaprabhu experiencing, demonstrating and encouraging us to be part of that. And there is a natural state to be in. In that natural state, there is no upadhi. In that natural state, there are no additional extra fittings. We are to our natural, humble self. And that is why Nectar of Devotion explains that every disciple should stand in front of their spiritual master like a fool without any quotients, simply ready to execute the orders of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one place, one should not partially study a book just to pose oneself as a great scholar by being able to refer to scriptures. in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have therefore limited our study of Vedic literatures to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These four works are sufficient for preaching purposes. They are adequate for the understanding of the philosophy and the spreading of missionary activities all over the world. If one studies a particular book, he must do so thoroughly. That is the principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada's encouraging is that it is important for us not to get into a scholarly zone. It is important for us get into a servant zone. By participating in Krishna consciousness process, we should become more humble, we should become more happy, we should become more relieved. If we are not becoming humbler, if we are not getting relieved of our baggage, and if we are not becoming a happy devotee, then we have something to worry. So, this is my first reflection. The second reflection is about a small comparison of how does a devotee versus a look-alike behave. The reason why we are discussing this in this current context is Mahaprabhu's one of the agenda in Varanasi, or at the end, he wanted to establish, and the whole process of transforming the Mayavadis to Vaishnavas, that's the title of this chapter, is even though the whole world might be appreciating you as scholar, but the real process of Krishna consciousness is in being a humble, relieved, simple servant. So somewhere in our Krishna consciousness movement, as we are getting into the preaching zone, in the name of strategies and various other things, we have adopted certain materialistic ideologies and bring in some aberrations to the philosophy. So Mahaprabhu, he is eventually going to win, he has already won Prakashananda Saraswati's heart, and eventually going to win the entire team of Mayavadis by his humble, simple conduct. And hence, in our preaching mission, we should also learn that what helps a person take up Krishna consciousness is that simplicity, that humility, and that madness that Mahaprabhu brings in, along with the amount of unlimited happiness one can experience. So I have just listed some kind of a comparison of how does a devotee conduct himself vis-a-vis a person who looks like a devotee behaves. I have listed few points. I'll just read them. A devotee gets taste in chanting, reading, speaking to the general mass about the glories of Krishna consciousness, independent of any result driven. Which means his chanting, reading, speaking, preaching has nothing to do with what result he is going to get, because they are all being done purely for winning souls to Krishna and pleasing Krishna and fulfilling the orders of the spiritual master, vis-a-vis doing things only for popularity and profile. I am stating these points, whatever points I am going to state, because these are all some practical observations that I get to see, and I'm sure some of you may also have this experience, amongst our own practitioners. So we need to learn to practice in purity rather than in thinking of popularity. I will come and sit in Bhagavatam class only when so many number of people are there, or I will only talk only when some specific audiences are there, when specific arrangements are there, when specific facilities are there. One day, a group of devotees, they left for Harinam Sankirtan. So Srila Prabhupada was in his room. So the devotees came and told Srila Prabhupada that, "Srila Prabhupada, we are going for Nagar Sankirtan and we will be back in 45 minutes or whatever time they said. But after they went to the Nagar Sankirtan, they came back within 10-15 minutes and Srila Prabhupada called them and asked, "How come you just went and came back so soon?" They said, "Srila Prabhupada, there is nobody there in the streets, so we just came back." Srila Prabhupada says, "Don't you see trees, plants and birds and beasts around? Are they not living beings? Can they not get delivered when you chant holy names? So please go and chant for them also. Harinam Sankirtan is not only for human beings, it is for every living entity." So Srila Prabhupada gave a perspective that this Krishna consciousness is for everyone. And when we are talking about Grihastha Ashrama, he was telling that every Grihastha should behave in a manner, should make sure that he dedicates his daily routine to preach Krishna consciousness to his near and dear and, you know, the circle of influences that he has. If he is not able to find anybody, then he and his wife should sit together and read books and preach to each other. So the message here is that the practical devotion does not have any connection with external arrangement as a devotee look-alike may look for. The second is about consistency versus sporadicity. A person who is devotionally inclined shows consistency.
Not able to hear, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. When I am not able to hear.
Hare Krishna, sorry, the call got cut. Yes. So, I was just telling that how in Krishna consciousness, there is something called as consistency that is in a part of our spiritual growth. So the difference between a Kanishta or a person who is not so serious in Krishna consciousness versus the one who is serious is of his consistency. I mean, I'm sure all of you might be really noticed that if you ever go to Mayapur, I mean, recently somebody was telling that anybody thinks of Mayapur and Radha Madhav, it is impossible for anybody not to think of Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangiri Prabhu. And recently during the Pujari floor opening, Jananivas Prabhu made a very interesting point. He said that Srila Prabhupada told us, "Please serve Radha Madhava very nicely. And Madhava, who is husband of Goddess of Fortune, will provide everything necessary for the preaching mission." So he was trying to explain how just by doing the service of deity worship very nicely, the entire preaching program can happen. And they are example for that. You can quote many, many, many examples, but something that I have personally got inspired, or every time if I want to get some inspiration, I look at such devotees who have not got any gimmicks and simply followed what Srila Prabhupada has directed them consistently for not one day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years, consistently for last several years. So consistency versus sporadicity is another dimension by which one can differentiate. Prakashananda Saraswati, when he was looking at Mahaprabhu in the initial days, he thought Mahaprabhu was a madman. He thought Mahaprabhu was completely lost in his, you know, self, in his self, and he is never going to understand what Vedanta Sutra means. And they were all trying to look down at Mahaprabhu. But now, Mahaprabhu, by his personal conduct, he has definitely demonstrated the power of Sankirtan mission. The third aspect of a person who is a sincere, serious practitioner is about perseverance to apply versus proving the point. Mahaprabhu did not want to prove his point. He just conducted himself in a very humble manner, and by his humble, straightforward, transparent attitude, he has transformed people over there. Conversely, people, the bogus sadhus, they try to prove their point by getting into politics, by getting into, you know, so many shows, by getting into various other forums to prove a point. Right from Rupa Goswami up till Srila Prabhupada, I am sure his followers too. Our agenda is never to prove a point. Our agenda is to persevere, to apply Krishna consciousness in one's life and demonstrate how this Krishna consciousness is a way of life, not just part of living. Rupa Goswami to Digvijay Pandit is a very good example. We see here Mahaprabhu did not try to do that to the Mayavadis. He could have gone and challenged, but Mahaprabhu took a humble stand. He didn't prove his point. So there are many such instances where the goal of our Krishna consciousness practice is to practice, and by our practice we transform, not by pushing it through a rod, you know, pushing it through by proving a point. The fourth aspect of devotion versus lookalike is a person who is devotionally inclined give importance to the mood and service, whereas the one who is superficial gives importance to presentation and external appearances. Presentation and external appearances do matter for preaching, but they all are useless if the mood and service is not preserved. So hence the importance of our preaching mission is to preserve the mood and the service attitude. The last aspect of this is a person who is devotionally inclined works under the framework of devotional life, whereas the one who is superficial tries to get Krishna consciousness into his framework. We give Krishna consciousness reasoning for our sense gratification. We give Krishna consciousness reasoning for our choices and priorities, instead of changing our priorities for Krishna conscious lifestyle. So my second reflection is to establish how here we are seeing two personalities. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, second is Prakashananda Saraswati. And one who was proud, who was arrogant, who thought Mahaprabhu was mad, now is clasping to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, crying for mercy. And so we see the external superficiality vis-a-vis the devotion personified and comparison. How the whole world give importance to popularity, how the whole world give importance to something that is famous. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness to be famous and, you know, spread all over the world, but not by hook or crook. He wanted to have his preaching happen with all the principles intact. So hence, I'll list these 5 points that I mentioned. There are many more that we can always churn out, but some 5 prominent things that I want to highlight. How this Krishna consciousness process is actually transforming, but it is not something that is superficial. So the number one, Krishna consciousness gives us taste in chanting, reading, speaking, independent of who the audience are, you know, how many the audience are, what type of audience are, and their strength and etc. Vis-a-vis, superficiality demands something to do for popularity and profile. Second is about consistency versus sporadicity. Third is about how do we persevere to apply Krishna consciousness in one's life instead of proving the point. Fourth is to give importance to the mood and service instead of presentation and external appearances. And last but not least, a Krishna consciousness devotee would like to work under the framework of devotional life and organize his priorities around that, whereas a superficial one try to give Krishna consciousness reasoning for his self-styled working. So Mahaprabhu here, his behavior, his activities, his various other bodily symptoms explains the genuine and wonderful nature of this process of Krishna consciousness. And as Prabhupada always says, that it is a spiritual transformation that takes place in one's body, mind, intelligence, as well as the soul. So this is not just a superficial process, this is a process that transforms at all layer, from bodily layer to mental layer to intellectual layer to the layer of the soul. The third reflection is about one very nice song by Tukaram Maharaj. It's an abhang where Tukaram Maharaj is talking about how does a devotee's life or how does he conduct himself or how he wishes to define his thought process. Because Mahaprabhu is talking about, or Prakashananda Saraswati is witnessing, how Mahaprabhu could not control his emotions, how Mahaprabhu is, as soon as he chants, he completely forgot the surroundings and he got involved into this process. And how Mahaprabhu wanted everybody to be part of the Sankirtan mission and spread this happiness to each and every one. So a similar mood has been applied by all the followers and all the preachers of Sankirtan movement. So in Maharashtra, because we are talking about Maharashtrian Brahmin's realization about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission, one such Maharashtrian devotee who has received instructions from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Tukaram Maharaj. The reason I wanted to share this reflection is Srila Prabhupada, in this purport explaining the magnanimity and humility of Mahaprabhu, so Tukaram Maharaj was one such person who had all the composure, who had all the stature, very, very elevated personality, but handled all the humiliations, all the so-called tortures given by his community men, and eventually demonstrated it to the whole world how the process of devotional service can uplift, can take one to a spiritual abode. So everybody witnessed. There's a place called Dehu on the way from Mumbai to Pune. That's a birthplace of Tukaram Maharaj, where the Lord came in his Vimana and personally airlifted Tukaram Maharaj, the way Dhruva Maharaj was airlifted. So when Prakashananda Saraswati caught hold of Lord's lotus feet, already Prakashananda Saraswati realized that he was not magnanimous, he was not humble, he was very arrogant. Srila Prabhupada is explaining further in the future shloka through Mahaprabhu's teaching that how Prakashananda Saraswati realized this mistake, and he is confessing. Prakashananda Saraswati is confessing, I committed an offense. So my third reflection is about the reflective mood of Vaishnavas, how they are not there to punish or try to snub anybody off, rather by their own conduct of magnanimity and humility, they bring in the transformation required in oneself as well as in others that they are coming in the way. Anika dusarem majanam himatam Nemelea chita basuniyam panduranga dhyani panduranga mani jagrutim swapnim panduranga patilem valana indriyam sakalam Bhavato nirala nahinduja Dukamane netrim Keleolagana Tadastatem dhyana vitevari. This is Abhang. That he says, in my consciousness, I do not want anyone else apart from Panduranga, apart from Vitala, nobody else is going to be there in my consciousness. And he says, I have made this up very firmly and convincingly. Nemelaya chita basuniyam. He says, I have committed, confirmed, Panduranga dhyanim, Panduranga manim. Whenever I am doing any amount of prayers, meditation, chanting, glorification, jagritim, swapnim, whether I am awake or when I am asleep, in all my thoughts, I will have Panduranga. All my senses, Patileyam Valana Indriyam Sakalam, says, in all my senses, bhavato niralam nahim tuda. He says that all the time he'll be thinking about the Supreme Lord. All the time thinking about glorifying the Supreme Lord, about his lotus feet, clasping his lotus feet. He says, my eyes is always tuned up in such a state that wherever and whatever I see, and wherever I see only the Supreme Lord, Panduranga. This abhang is one very interesting one for all the practitioners of Krishna consciousness of how we need to tune up ourselves. We need to prepare our consciousness. We need to prepare our conduct. We need to prepare our behavior in such a manner that we remain magnanimous to accommodate everyone into the Sankirtan mission by staying humble. So, in the future, Mahaprabhu is going to be appreciated by Prakash Ananda Saraswati. He is quoting actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. In text number 78, you will see, or maybe text number 79, 78, some verse. He says how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Lord himself, and anyone who touches the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he will get freed from the bodily consciousness. So Prakashananda Saraswati, he is now surrendering to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, and experiencing that the stupidity that he had, as well as the happiness that he is enjoying. So this surgical process, this process of Krishna consciousness, which relieves us from all the baggages that we have accumulated since time immemorial, is such a process that even a great Mayavadi, a great offenders, or even the person who is completely degraded can get transformed. What to speak of those who are blessed, who are fortunate, who are really got the opportunity to come in contact with the followers of Mahaprabhu. Like all of us, by some will of providence, by some causeless mercy, I'm sure if I can reflect upon myself, it is not by my endeavor I am practicing Krishna consciousness. It is by the causeless mercy of our predecessors and our fellow members, we are able to be part of this Krishna consciousness process. And now, being part of this process, we understand what a glorious opportunity that we have been blessed with. Hence, my third reflection is, this process is a magnanimous process where it is all-encompassing and invites each and every one to take advantage, not only human beings, even to animals. And eventually this is done by one's personal conduct. So to summarize our discussion today, in this current context of Mahaprabhu expressing his joy, Mahaprabhu dancing and getting lost into this world of ecstasy, and by his ecstasy he is inundating the people of Kashi. He is giving us a glimpse of what we would also be experiencing, what we should also be experiencing, what we should also be yearning for. So, there are three reflections that I share. Number one, how this Sankirtan mission, or anybody who is part of the Sankirtan mission, will naturally, immediately be able to experience free from all the sinful reactions, Klesha Agni, and also experience Shubhada, all auspiciousness. And these two things are something that is experienceable even while the process is on, whilst we are in the devotee in the making. And this process is a process of surgery, maybe a component of pain, apparently being called as a pain by the so-called materialistic men, may be introduced in our life. But then, those are all for us to get removed of the anomalies. The second reflection that we had is to identify, are we really getting transformed or not? So, it's a kind of a checklist as well as the revelation of devotion versus superficiality. We discussed 5 points in that. Number one, the difference between taste in chanting, reading, speaking for the pleasure of the Lord and spiritual master vis-a-vis doing things for popularity and profile. And how about being consistent versus being sporadic? And three is how we persevere to apply Krishna consciousness in our life instead of trying to prove the point. And fourth is how to give importance to the mood and service instead of presentation and external appearances. And last but not least, how we work under the framework of devotional life and organize our priorities versus trying to give Krishna consciousness reasoning for our sense gratification. The third aspect of our today's discussion was about magnanimity and humility that Mahaprabhu demonstrated. This process of magnanimity and humility is something that is unique to this Krishna consciousness process, because the process is magnanimous enough. Adbhuta, Karunya, Vadanya, Audarya. Mahaprabhu magnanimously encourages, embraces everyone who has shown little Shraddha and does not hold anything against them, and gave them profusely the mercy to them and continue to remain humble. And by such a humble attitude, he wins everyone's heart. And we discussed the example of how Tukaram Maharaj is showing in his prayer, where he says that in my consciousness, in my thinking, I have firmed up that there will be no one else apart from the Supreme Lord. In my state of awake or in dreams, the Supreme Lord will always be present. My senses, all of them will be clasping and serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And my eyes will be fixed up in taking darshan of the Supreme Lord, as well as seeing everywhere, everything in connection with the Supreme Lord. And such is the mood, keeping that mood. And such preachers are going out and calling out everyone to join the Sankirtan mission. Please come forward and join, be part of this wonderful Krishna consciousness process. So they hold Krishna in their heart. They hold Krishna in their senses. They hold Krishna everywhere in their own presence. And they become like a walking dham. Go everywhere and winning more and more souls, as Mahaprabhu is doing here. In the next set of few verses, you will see how Mahaprabhu's conduct have attracted the most stone-hearted, or whatever you may call as an arrogant personalities. And they eventually got melted and joined this Sankirtan mission. I conclude by saying, apparently it may appear that Krishna is doing things which we have not asked for. Krishna is giving some surprises which we did not expect, both in terms of giving in happiness or taking away the happiness. It may apparently appear that there is some sort of against dharma activities, something that is beyond our comprehension. If we have surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master, if we are attached to a spiritual institution, if we are not making the necessary progress as we are expected to do, then the Lord from within gives us direction and makes sure to reach that place. Bhagavad Gita 10.10, purport, second paragraph, Prabhupada is writing this. I am paraphrasing that. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So Prabhupada writes there, if somebody has a bona fide spiritual master and attached to a spiritual organization, but still they have not made necessary progress, then I from within give them necessary intelligence and direction by which they can come to me. So in our case, we are all having bona fide spiritual master, we are all having attached to spiritual organization, and we should definitely make the necessary endeavor, else we should expect some surgery to happen, and that Krishna does it in his own sweet way. So thank you so much. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss that. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for giving the example of Sant Tukaram and explaining very nicely. And also, it was interesting to know about Prabhupada's Prabhupada's take on the concept of Jagat Guru, how he didn't feel very comfortable with that. Thanks for letting us know about that too. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti koti dhanvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you very much for giving example of Sant Tukaram and especially to Abhanga. If there is no question, please sing for us that to Abhanga. Hari Hari Bol, and explain, as Guruji Vilasani explained, that Srila Prabhupada doesn't like that that disciple will call a Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. But he is Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti koti dhanvat pranam to all realizers.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat pranam. So you talked about looking at Krishna and seeing everything as Krishna, and you illustrated that with a good abhang. So just in practical life, if we are seeing people who are not so good, I mean, how do we see the good in them? I know it comes to you for you to learn a lesson in your life. That's why that person has done that such thing for you. But still, how to develop that perception and mentality of seeing Krishna everywhere, even bad and good?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting question, and a tough one to comprehend as well as put it in practice. For the whole definition of the word Nitya Baddha and Nitya Siddha explanation is why somebody is called Nitya Baddha is because of being extended stay in this material world. Eternally he is called Nitya Baddha because we do not know for so many lifetimes we have been here identifying ourselves with this body. So when we have got this fortune of coming in this human form of life, it is definitely a very good platform for us to realize and change. But because of the vasana or the impact of being here for such a long time, it is difficult for us to, you know, get to that switch. So hence this aspect of how do we see Krishna in everything that we see, or how do we see Krishna's hand in everything else that we see? One devotee was asking this. I am seeing sometimes police officers when they have to catch the person who is, suppose for example, there are two examples that are given on this context. One is of an example of an ambulance. Second is an example of a police. Suppose if somebody is driving on a highway beyond their speed limit, the police have to come and stop them. I mean, typically in India, maybe in your country where we have camera does the job and send the ticket to the person. But just stay with the example of what I, explaining here, where a police has to drive much faster than the allowed speed limit on that particular road to stop a guy. I mean, it may not be just speeding, it may be somebody who is a notorious element, so the cop has to stop them. So if the guy is going in a specific speed limit, which is already not allowed, the cops have to go much faster than those guys to stop them. And in case of ambulance, it carries the patient, it doesn't follow any traffic rules. It cuts through all the traffic rules because it has to save life. These two examples are, quoted where Krishna, in our own lives, to rescue us from our so-called pain, so-called notorious behavior, he also does something notorious in our eyes. I mean, why Krishna is giving me such a pain? Why Krishna is giving me such a, torture? Why Krishna is giving me such things in spite of me, trying to be good? Maybe I'm not good, I agree, but I'm trying to be good. At least he should give me some brownie points. But then we don't understand that Krishna has to really fix us before we lose us a track. So he acts like a cop who drives past us, stop us and gives us ticket. So many times when good things happen to us, we are not so much bothered. We are happy. Sometimes we are lost in the happiness. But when some bad things happen to us or when something challenging happens to us, that's when we have a big question, how to see Krishna in this? And my reflection is Krishna is seen by the way by which cops come and stop you from doing some nonsense. An example of ambulance is given because sometimes Krishna sends his devotees. And when we are with a devotee, when a devotee is taking care of you or rescuing you from a medical condition or a whatever mental condition, so and when we are walking past with them, all the so-called materialistic arrangements which otherwise would have bothered us, we are able to walk past all of them very easily. And we are taken forward in our spirituality. That is why Srila Prabhupada said in Mathura, he was on a stage addressing to all the audience, a huge audience. This is the first time Srila Prabhupada has returned back to India after starting International Society. He came back on the stage, he was sitting and addressing a huge audience, and behind him there were like 10, 20 white men. So Srila Prabhupada was boasting and saying that, you see, this Krishna consciousness process is so sublime. You look at all these people behind me, even if you give them $10,000, they will not get carried away and they will be firmly fixed in this process. So Srila Prabhupada was boasting and saying how this process is so sublime and how he has rescued them from the, from the life of hippies. And interestingly, some of the devotees sitting behind, they started to smile and they were beaming and happy that Prabhupada is giving them a lot of credit. And in the very next moment, Prabhupada turned around and said, don't smile too much. Nobody has yet offered you one. So the message here is that Krishna and spiritual master or Krishna and Vaishnavas in our life, they both take control of the one who has allowed them. So all that we need to do is when we allow them to take control of us, then every episode that happens in our life is to be understood either as an ambulance ride or a cop stopping us. Either to give us ticket to fix it, or it is so bad that we cannot, function ourselves. Somebody has to carry us forward through an ambulance to take to the doctor. So in our personal lives, after taking shelter of the spiritual master, typically all the sins are washed away. So what is left is only the effect of the offenses that we have done in the past and also any offenses that we are doing in the present. So that is why all the Vaishnava Acharya songs that you see, no song you will see where an Acharya would have sung that by this process all the offenses are completely washed away. No, I have not come across one. All it is spoken is all the sins are washed away. So sins that you would have committed till now or up to any point in time are immediately washed away. Offenses or the effect of offenses needs to be only, you know, repented and purified by atonements. So the point that I was trying to, you know, explain is, if you have sincerely surrendered to the spiritual master and to the spiritual institution, then everything that happens after that in our lives is only the divine Paramatma's arrangement to somehow us bring us to the process of purity. And he does it in his own sweet way by giving or by taking. So the scops and ambulance example I always remember because they are our savior. Am I making some sense here, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so can we end the class?
Sure, Prabhu, thank you so much. So then, no more questions, comments, or realizations. We can end the call. Vancha kalpataru vyascha kalpa sindhu bhavacha patitanam bhavane bhava vaishnavi bhava namo namaha. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय इस ग्रेस राम गिरिधारी प्रभु जी की जय हरे
थैंक यू प्रभु जी हरे कृष्णा